Title of my message is Don't Be Late. And as Eric Rank actually started off his editorial talking about how times are uncertain, and that's exactly what I was going to say. And in fact, I've actually given this message a couple weeks back already in German and thought it was fitting to talk about this today in English. But times are indeed difficult. And we've been saying this for years. We've also been saying that we need to be prepared, not just physically, but more importantly, spiritually speaking. And yeah, what goes on around the world is making people angry and scared. At the time I put this message together, I mean, look what happened in 2 weeks. And I'll go into that a little bit more. But yes, people are angry. People are scared. They're trying to find ways to solve problems. One example, thinking going to war is going to solve a problem, which it definitely does not, because they all hope that things will get better. Well, if you believe the Bible and actually understand what it reveals, then you know what is coming. And even when we are hit with trials, we still ask the question, why is this happening? Why am I going through these things? It's like, why is this happening to me? What did I do? You can go on and on when you're going through something, trying something difficult. I mean, the trials could be anything. But I'm not here today to tell you what the answer is. I don't know what the answer is. But what I do know is that God knows the answer. And one day, whatever we may be going through, it will be revealed to us. Sometimes God does reveal it to us, but other times we just don't know. But one day we will understand why. And then it will all make sense. So we don't need to waste our time trying to figure out, you know, why this is happening, or I don't understand this. You know, we keep saying take things a day at a time. And that's really what we have to do, and just trust that God obviously knows what he's doing and he takes care of us. But it still doesn't stop us from thinking about it, wondering why things are happening the way they are. Perhaps we may ask ourselves, have we taken God's gift for granted? And what is this gift that God has given us? Do we take his blessings for granted? Or are we thankful for them? When something good happens, when God answers our prayers, do we actually thank him that he was able to provide? Are we thankful when we go through difficult times? That is something that's not easy to do. But do we have enough faith that God will intervene and provide? Or do we become too discouraged to rely on God? Yes, it is frustrating, but we will get through this as God promises us in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 6. And this is a scripture, like many of the ones I'm going to quote today, are scriptures that we just don't get tired of reading, because this is something that applies to us every day. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If anyone of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And we need wisdom a lot in our lives. We need wisdom on a daily basis to get through things, to get through our trials. Continuing, who gives to all liberally, without reproach, and it will be given to him. And here's the key in verse 6. Let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of sea driven and tossed by the wind. And doubt can enter our minds very easily when things don't happen the way we want them to. It's a normal thing that we go through. We must be smart in our decisions that we make, because we don't want to test God either. Don't think that we can just sit back and do nothing, thinking that God will take care of us. We obviously have a part to do as well. You cannot be lazy. What does laziness bring? I mean, even with everyday things that we go through in our life, and when it comes to work, whatever it may be, you can't be lazy. You're not going to get work done. God doesn't expect laziness from us either. We have a part to do. And that is all part of the learning process, having a closer relationship with God. Now, when we do receive blessings from God, we have to remember to be thankful. Really, it's something that we should be praying for every single day, through the blessings that we receive, and even the simple things that many, assume to be simple things, but it's really not that simple, what God all does for us. He does a lot for us. And sometimes we tend to dwell on things that are troublesome to us. That's normal to do. Things that we would most likely try to put into our own hands to try to figure out, especially the heat in the moment, forgetting to go to God for help. I don't think we do this intentionally. This is human nature, to try to do it our way. But this is also man's way of thinking, where God is often not even in the picture. Like today, for example, look what's going on in the world today. Thinking they're putting God in the picture, thinking, oh, this is God's doing, oh, yeah, this is, God's going to bless us for this. Absolutely not. The Bible is completely against that, what is going on. Again, I'll go into this a little bit more later. But are we sometimes too embarrassed to ask God for help, especially when we know we did something wrong? And then we go and ask God to bless us, even when we may think that we don't deserve it? I sometimes feel that way. But I also know how merciful God is. And I know better. And every time we sin or do something wrong, like for me, for example, if I do something wrong, I know right away, oh, I should not have done that. I'm such an idiot. I mean, okay, that's what happens. It's a normal thing. It's like, I should have known better. I shouldn't have done that. And good thing we have that thinking when we go through something like that. That is God still trying to help us. And we sin. Everybody sins. And yet, we still ask for forgiveness many times. In fact, we should be asking it every day. It's very difficult to go through a whole day with complete perfection. It's very difficult to do. It's not impossible, but it's also very difficult to do. I mean, we all sin. The Bible makes that clear. But when we are sick, what do? We ask God to heal us. And so, if God does heal us, do we then forget to thank him when we are healed? That's something that could be easily forgotten as well. And that's something we should always be thankful for. No matter what, even while we're sick, thanking God that he will heal us. Notice Luke chapter 17, verses 15 through 19. Luke 17, verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, said, Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the others, the other 9? Verse 18, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. See here how faith made him well. But it's not just that. Faith will also save you. Save you in the end. So when should we give God thanks? And what should we thank him about? Notice Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 20, we read, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, a scripture we always read, always allude to. Here, we always give thanks. We pray to our Father with the authority of Christ as our mediator. And Christ understands us very well. What we all go through since he himself lived it. And then he died for us. So we should continue to be thankful in all things, and especially during challenging times. We should not take what has been given to us for granted. It is never too late to ask God for help. Again, what gift has God actually given us? Well, he has given us the gift of knowledge and love, his way of life, the meaning of the Sabbath and the holy days. And by living this way of life, we are to be great examples to the rest of the world, as it says in Matthew 5:16. We are to be shining lights to this world, even if the world will hate us for it. And yes, the world will hate us for it if they don't already. But we are not here to please the world, but we're here to please God. And we will be blessed for that. It's a promise. Luke 8, verses 4 through 15, talks about the parable of the sower who went out to sow his seed, how some seed fell by the wayside, fell on the rocks, fell on the thorns, and the good ground. But I want to read verses 11 through 15 in Luke 8. Luke 8, verse 11. The parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But, verse 13, the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. But they have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. This category does not refer to those who are called. But notice verse 14. The ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. Verse 15. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience, perseverance, endurance, faith. You can add all these words to that last one. Notice how we must have patience just as God has patience with us. Boy, does he ever. Especially every day that goes by, we do something wrong, whatever it may be. God certainly has patience with us. But that's why we also endure hardship and suffering if we want to live God's way of life, to ultimately be like God. And isn't that our ultimate goal? Do we sometimes take what we know for granted? Do we also remain faithful in Christ? And are we strong enough to keep going? And do we possess that patience until the end? Notice Romans chapter 8. Verses 35 through 39. Romans 8, and verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, war? As is written, verse 36, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And for that, we are truly thankful. At least we should be. And like I said at the very beginning, the times we are living in now are difficult. And I'm talking about right now at this very moment. What I find interesting, the State of the Union Address was February 24th. And if you listen to that, it was quite entertaining, say the least. But Trump described the economy as a roaring success, a turnaround for the ages, that his policies were reversing the inherited mess and rapidly lowering prices, that more Americans are working now than ever before, and that gas prices were at its lowest in 5 years. Well, then what happened 4 days after that, on February 28th? The USA launched an attack on Iran in coordination with Israel. And how has the stock market done the very next day and since then? The Dow plunging over 1,000 points. Oil prices jumping over 8% in a single day, affecting gas prices. The largest weekly jump since 2022. Now for that week being, I think they're saying this is the largest jump it has ever been that quick. We got gas at the beginning of the week. Right before that attack happened, it was 407. Now, for us, that's cheap here in California. So just down the street here, and today it's over 470. I think 479 in a matter of a few days, even higher than that. But gas here, that's the cheap gas station for us. Don't even complain about your gas prices where everybody else lives, everybody listening in. California is up there. But look how quick that went up. Look at all these things that was said, how it all changed, how fast it has changed in just 1 week. Are we prepared? Times are getting worse, very evident, and they are coming closer and closer to the end. We see how quick things happen here. This is just minor of what's really going to come. And we see how things are developing, as the Bible talks about. And since we are witnesses to that as well, we should be taking the necessary steps to prepare. And this shouldn't be viewed as a negative thing. We take this as a positive sign because we know these things are going to happen. Notice Matthew 24 and verse 4. Matthew 24. Starting verse 4, Jesus answered, said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. You will hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For a nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." Like I said, that's just the beginning. What's going on right now is just the beginning. "They will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." Verse 10. "Many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another." We've been going through that through years as well. Falling away, that's still coming. Verse 11, "And many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." This is talking about us. This is talking about God's people here. Those who have godly love, or think they do. But verse 13, the key. "He who endures to the end shall be saved." And what do we do until then? We do what it says in verse 14. "This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." This is what I'm trying to do right now. This is what the ministers of the Church of God are trying to do right now. What we've been doing. Now, based on my title, I'm not being late. Let's imagine this scenario. You have the most important meeting of the year taking place tomorrow at 7:30 p.m., and you can't be late. How do you prepare yourself? You're about to head out, and then suddenly unexpected things start to happen. You realize that your car is out of gas because the gas price is so high. And now you have to get gas. So that takes a little bit of time to do that. Then after that, you hit every red light along the way to your meeting. In your frustration, you miss the exit to where you're supposed to go and now have to backtrack. And try to make up for lost time, you see flashing lights in your rearview mirror. And now you're late. The meeting has started without you. You missed it. How prepared were you really when you knew that this was the most important meeting of the year? You assumed that you would have no issues getting there in time. Sure, there were some things that were unexpected, but that should have come as no surprise, as you should have prepared for that as well, especially since this was a meeting that you did not want to miss. These unexpected situations were also accompanied by carelessness. And Christ similarly talks about this in Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. The kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. The oil here referring to God's Spirit. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, an unexpected time, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." Then all his virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." Verse 9, but the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Verse 11, afterward, the other virgins came also saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Surely I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." This parable uses a wedding setting to illustrate the spiritual consequence of being unprepared and late for the coming of the Lord. So what is the lesson here? Jesus concluded this parable in verse 13, what we just read, by watching, being ready, not being late, urging constant spiritual readiness rather than just punctuality. And we cannot ignore this. We cannot put this on the side and get to it later. But we need to take it seriously. And this should be our main goal. Do we make goals for ourselves in which we will better ourselves and learn from our past mistakes? We make mistakes. That is a fact. And we must learn from our mistakes. And we should accomplish our goals. Our goals to keep God's commandments. We do this during God's new year, according to the Hebrew calendar. And it's proven in Exodus 12, verse 2, in the spring during the Passover, where we ask for forgiveness of our sins. And this is a time of reflection as well, and where we also repent of our sins when we take the Passover seriously, our slate of sin will be swept clean. Again, another chance for us to strive for perfection, our brand new start. That's why we do it every year, because we're not perfect. We have to do this every year. This is symbolized during the foot washing ceremony in John 13, verse 10. And we prepare ourselves for this important time throughout the year in the way we live our lives. And for us baptized members, before we took the Passover, we were given a new life where we entered into God's family and we received his power. We had to repent of all of our sins and start our new life and live in the way we were commanded to do. This was during our baptism, which was necessary for us to partake of and to pass over and ultimately inherit eternal life. Notice our last scripture, Romans 6, beginning in verse 1. And I'll read this section to verse 14, Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we, who died to sin or put sin behind us, live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. What does that mean? That means we will be like Christ. Knowing this, that our old man, verse 6, was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Verse 8, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died, verse 10, he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. And likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, verse 12, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey in its lusts, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Verse 14, for sin shall have or shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, that is under its penalty, but under grace and all the benefits that it gives us, having obtained forgiveness. We were dead, and now we are alive. And we have to remain alive. Just like the ways of this world are dead, but the way of God is life. We know how Satan can be and how he deceives this whole world, trying to put all the good things, right, into things that are bad. Many think, I mean, there's a lot of people that don't think that this war that we're in now, Iran, was a good thing. But there are people that think, oh, this is great. But if you haven't heard the Standing Watch program for this week, definitely listen to that. We're going to hear more about that in announcements. But that is right on exactly what is going on and what we should be or how we should be concentrating on the good things. Satan's all about war. We know that. Should know that. He finds ways to trick us, continually testing us to see if we will stand strong against him. And God allows it. Satan tempts us. And God allows temptation to test us. At our baptism, we became a new man. and we must continue living a righteous life. And we are reminded of that each year during the Passover, where we ask for forgiveness of our sins that we have committed, as we still sin from time to time, for we are still human. However, by participating in the Passover service, we can obtain forgiveness of our sins through the sacrifice of Christ every year, by renewing and refreshing his participation in our lives. We are here for a reason, to become perfect. The Passover is less than a month away, and this is the most important meeting of the year. Don't be late. We should always be preparing. We should always be evaluating ourselves to see how we are doing. And if we are struggling with sin, whatever it may be, fix it. Don't let Satan win. There is never a time when we should not be close to God. Yes, we go through distractions, but we need to keep our minds focused on his plan for us, and let us make sure that we do not delay Christ's return.